Marcia, along with my associate pastor, the beloved, the amazing Pastor Jim, and Cindy Henderson in Idaho. And Cindy, some of us were at lunch right after church today before we went to the nursing home ministry, and Pastor Jim and I were given a compliment. Would you like to know what it was?
I would.
Some new folks among us looked at us and said, "You guys really act like an old married couple that just sync well together, know each other."
Yeah, that would be us.
That would be us.
Well, you have been doing this a long time.
Well, that's true.
Why is she laughing, PJ?
I know. Kind of scary.
Isn't it? But you know what it is, Cindy? Seriously, because you sat in ministry with both of us and you understand when God puts mm-hmm. people together in ministry like you with us, okay, mm-hmm. that is a connection that God makes, and it is super crazy wonderful, and I can't imagine doing ministry without my beloved Pastor Jim beside me, and the way that we work together so well. So it's a shout out to him through the glass. I'm in the control room. He's in the studio. Mm-hmm. So it's a shout out to you, PJ, for being such a cool associate pastor and so full of the word. And when we say he has 155 Bibles, Nan, is that true? Does he really?
He's also a walking Bible.
He is a walking Bible also.
But he does have at least that many.
Last count, it was that many. Yes, and when he says he has the revised this of that or whatever, that means he has the most up-to-date of everything that's in print. PJ?
I try.
He does. He's also a social worker by trade and an amazing servant of the Lord. So I don't know why we're just giving shout-outs to PJ today. But But Cindy, you've sat under his ministry. What a joy, right?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And you should let the audience know, you guys are not married to each other.
Oh, no, we are not. He is married to someone else, and I am happily single.
Yeah, so, you have a synchronicity that comes from...
There you go.
Long-term cooperation.
A synchronicity. Say that again. How do you spell that? A synchronicity?
Synchronicity.
A synchronicity. PJ, we are synchronized.
We are synchronistic.
We are synchronistic. We are. But you know what? I'm making a point with that because we are united in the work of the Lord. And in Acts chapter 4, which we talked about this morning in our sermon, the believers got together and they were in one heart and one mind, and they worked together as one. And that's so very important. So I'll let you comment on that, PJ.
Well, unity is very important. And but getting back to giving me shout-outs, all I can think of is Zeus and Hermes.
Oh, here we go. We're going to talk about Zeus and Hermes in a minute here in Acts 14.
But, it's... What's that scripture? A man is tested by the praise he receives. I think that's in Proverbs. I may not be quoting it exactly right, but that's true. I mean, you know, people can give you accolades for being a pastor or for, you know, having Bible knowledge. And it's a test because I could get a big head and think, yeah, I know more than you do. But.
You say that to me all the time.
Yeah, right. But I know better because that would be pride. And I just read one of my verses the
other
day.
That's right. You can't get into pride.
Right. You know, you don't want to get into pride because then it ruins everything.
You know, the goal of all that we do here at Beacon of Hope and on the air every single week, and we just had our 600 shows, so this is probably 610 or something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, because that was back in September?
September 23rd. So we are pursuing and we are pressing on because we're on fire for God. And I just did Soul on Fire last week, so we're going to do Press On because that is really where it's at. We have to press on. Paul and Barnabas, when they were thrown out of one town, just went to the next one and set up shop and started talking again and getting people saved and healed. I mean, people, if people persecute, you don't give up and put your tail between your legs and run off and hide in the corner and say, they talk mean to me. No, no, no. Listen to this song, Press On.
Mm-hmm.
When the body is weary, when we stumble and fall, when the choices are hard, when we're battered and scarred, when we've spent our resources, in our own, in Jesus' name, we press on. In Jesus' name, we press on.
Praise God. Find the strength, dear one, to press on.
We find the strength to press on.
Praise God. Glory to God. That's what we're doing, people. We press on regardless of what's going on, regardless of the bruises and the battery. No, regardless of what we're going through. Praise God. I love that song. I love that song. I played it, I think, 110 times as I drove 2 years ago right now from Indiana doing a revival there, hurrying back home as my brother-in-law was getting ready to pass away and go to heaven. And he fought cancer 11 years, and he passed away. And but that just, he knew the Lord, and that's what matters. And we press on to get as many people to know the Lord as possible. Nan, talk to us.
When you feel you can't go on, press on. I'm on?
It's a poem. Go ahead.
It's a poem, yes. When you feel you can't go on, press on. I am in control, press on. When you don't see the answer, press on. That's right. You need to press on, for in your weaknesses, you will become, by me, strong. You can make it through this day. You need to look to me with praise and pray. Press on. You will make it through, little one. I will be there. What needs to be done will be done. When you don't see the answer, press on.
Praise God. Thank you for sharing that. Let's go to Acts 14. And yes, that's a great admonition to press on and hang in there. There was a man in Lystra where Paul and Barnabas went after they were kind of ceremoniously kicked out of the last town, who couldn't walk. And he sat there crippled since the day of his birth. And he heard Paul talking, and Paul looking at him in the eyes saw that he was ripe for God's word, ready to believe. Whoa. So he said loud enough for everyone to hear, up on your feet. Paul did not say it very little. Hey, why don't you get up if you feel like it? Paul declared, up on your feet. Okay. The man was up in a flash, jumped up and walked around as if he'd been walking all his life. And we know he had never walked a day in his life, but he had watched other people walk, so he knew how to do it. Woo! PJ?
I think I would like to know. Well, you said you can see it in people's eyes. When
I can
when
see
their
when
knower,
faith.
When their knower goes on.
Yes, and, I can. And I can see it when they get sleepy and want to fall asleep too.
Yeah.
But especially when they're connecting and their faith is rising.
Right,
as I preach, I can see it.
Yeah, and that's what Paul saw. This,
yeah, that's what he saw.
Whoever this was, then Paul looked, you know, this man responded to the word. And that's what... Well, that's what we need to pray for, is that people, when we speak the word, that people respond to it, because Paul looked at him and realized, oh, man, this guy believes, and up on your feet. And, you know, he got up.
He didn't argue, did he? Oh,
no.
I can't, you don't know, but I'm a cripple.
I've been crippled all my life.
He didn't say any of that stuff.
Faith gets rid of all those arguments.
Woo! Yes.
You know, if you believe,
yes.
Faith gets rid of all those arguments.
Yes.
They're gone. And he believed. Paul kind of, I don't want to say pushed him, but in got him to, you know, just commanded him. This is, you know, basically this is what God wants you to do. Get up.
Get up. Just get up.
And sometimes, you know, sometimes that'll happen.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, God will.
Still happens today.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, where
people
God
are
will,
healed. Absolutely.
Well, but I mean, where people. Somebody will call out somebody, get up. Get up out of that wheelchair or whatever. Sometimes the healing is a little more subtle. Sometimes, like in one of the devotionals I was reading today, it was talking about the blind man. What did Jesus do? He put mud on his eyes and told him to wash.
Right.
You know? So sometimes, you know, God will have us do things that seem a little odd as far as, you know, how is this going to bring me? How is washing this mud going to help, going to bring me healing? Well, same thing with Peter and John in the temple. There was that lame man.
Right.
And
Acts 3.
In this case, Peter took him by the arm and pulled him up.
But see, I want to go back to your point here, and then we'll talk to Cindy about this. Because in Acts 14, 8 or 9, it says, Paul, as he's preaching and talking, Paul looking him in the eyes, okay, saw that he was ripe for God's word and ready to believe. So God sees our heart. People can see it. Pastors can see it in other people's eyes. I do, that's for sure. And I know when somebody's ready to be prayed for. That's why different times, Cindy, you've seen it at Beacon. I'll call somebody and I'll say, get up here. Because right now, we need to pray for you right now, because I see it. I sense it in my spirit. Or I hear God saying, get Cindy out of her chair and get her up here. I can remember many times laying hands on you, Cindy Henderson.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But you want to comment on this? Go ahead.
I miss that. That's one of the things I miss. I go to a very, very large church. They have 3 Sunday morning services. So because of time constraints, that part of the ministry is left for special services and things like that. So I miss that, because at Beacon, you can have prayer every single Sunday.
Yeah.
More than once during the third, you know.
Yeah, sometimes it's more than once, yeah.
I remember at the space we were in before I left.
Right.
There was a line. And
yeah,
you went up to that line and
stood on the line.
Pastor Jim and others would just go down the line and pray for people, lay hands on them, and I truly miss that type of ministry.
Praise God.
I think it's extremely valuable. And I think when you call somebody like that in the audience, stop, or you go up to them, there's something special about feeling, hey, God has a word just for me.
Yeah,
or
isn't it?
God saw my need and knew that today I specifically needed that prayer.
Oh, absolutely. And God is still doing those kinds of things today. And Paul said to him, up on your feet, and the man was up in a flash, jumped up and walked around as if he'd been walking all his life. And when the crowd saw that what Paul had done, they went wild. And here's where they got into trouble, because they started making it look that, well, they felt like Paul and Barnabas were gods. And so they took it to an extreme and started to have a party for them and declare that they were Zeus and Hermes and all this crazy stuff. And Paul, like, oh, no, 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 no. Don't you dare do that. And it's the same with people in ministry. Don't put these people on pedestals, me included, when we lay hands on you and you are healed. Do not do that, PJ.
Well, and I was going to say, too, the other thing is these were not the believers that did this. This was the unbelievers. But it's still a tendency for ministers to accept that. But I think also it's a tendency for people to give it. Look at what so-and-so did. So-and-so is such a great pastor. So-and-so is such a great faith healer. And nothing wrong, obviously I believe in preaching and healing. But don't judge a person by those gifts, by those miracles. That's a really dangerous precedent, because anybody can work a miracle. Satan can work a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
What you listen for is that miracle a confirmation of the word of God? And these people obviously didn't get that, because here they've decided, oh, these two guys are gods. So they were still pretty. And I said it had to have been the unbelievers, because and rightly so. But it says later they had a hard time restraining them. And sometimes people just, it's hard sometimes to stop people from praising you.
Because there is that human thing that we want to put people up on a pedestal, especially pastors and people who flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, don't do that.
And those of us that do want, there's a tendency, we want to accept it.
Right. We don't. We should not accept
it.
And we should
not
do it.
Absolutely not.
And that's what was going on here. But Paul and Barnabas were wise enough to go, oh, no, no, don't do that. Don't do that. We're not gods. We're people just like you.
Well, and you know what? It gave him another opportunity to preach.
To preach. So when we take those things that seem like, oh, this is going to be a problem here, and we let God use it and turn it around, he does. Talk to us about that, Cindy, about any of that. Whatever you want to talk to us about.
Humans tend to extreme. So with any
good
issues,
point. Yeah, people do go to extremes. Yeah.
The pendulum swings from all the way to one side and then all the way back to the other side.
Good point.
And it continues to do that until finally it rests somewhere in the middle. I'm very much a middle ground type of person. I try very hard not to swing with the extremes. And sometimes it's hard because I'm very passionate and convinced of my beliefs in many areas.
Right.
But you'll notice with any national issue, state issue, personal issue, humans have a tendency to swing wildly to one side and then back to the other.
That's really true.
And we have to count on God to keep us in that middle ground. That doesn't mean you can't speak out for what's right. It just means that He talks about moderation in all things. And so that middle ground is highly prized. You have to make your stand there, because when you're when you're swinging back and forth, just like a guillotine or a swinging blade that you see in, you know,
the pitch and the pendulum.
Ooh.
The pendulum. Ooh. You can cut people.
Yeah.
You can injure people.
Yes,
with that,
you can. That's a good point.
Swinging viewpoints and stances that you take. So middle ground is it's so important.
That's a really good point.
just being well grounded and
good point. Go ahead, Peach. Go ahead.
You understand what I'm
talking
about.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a very good point. Go ahead, PJ.
And I think the best middle ground is the Bible.
Exactly.
I mean, that kind of goes without saying, but
yeah.
Being grounded in the Word, really
Amen.
Grounded in the Word, is, I think, the best way to not go to extremes. And, Cindy, I agree with you 100%. In Florida, we've seen that with certain issues where, we're going to swing, you know, if it was a problem, so we're going to swing way over here. And, we need to do the middle ground. I mean, for example, on the topic of healing, I know, and, you know, individually this could be an okay thing, but it cannot become a rule or a step. You know, some charismatic writers like seven steps to blah, blah, blah. God does not always heal when you rip your glasses off and say, I'm healed. My vision is restored. I sat under a teaching not too long after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit where that was the case. And I became guilty because I would not take off my glasses until God restored my eyesight. And then I would have gladly thrown them away.
Sure.
But, you know, that's an extreme. There's the extreme where God doesn't heal. And then there's the extreme to, he always heals and it's always got to be this way.
Right.
And that's an extreme view,
too.
The
other way.
Because God is a God of he's multifaceted.
Yeah.
You know, one time, like I said before, mud on the eyes. Sometimes it was a healing touch. Sometimes Jesus just spoke a word.
Right.
From who knows how far away, like maybe possibly miles in the case of the
centurion's son. Yes.
Or servant, you know, he said, he's healed.
Right.
Naaman, the Syrian who had leprosy. Elisha go to him, dip three times in the Jordan.
I think this is an excellent point you guys are making. And the reason being is because it is not cut and dry, because God does not want it to be that way. He does not want us to be married to a formula.
Yeah.
Okay. He wants us to trust him. It is all about trusting him and how he's going to do it. So here's this man sitting there crippled, and you don't see the man argue with him. He just by faith stood up. Now, did that happen a lot of times? We don't know. We really don't know. We just know the ones that are recorded. Does it happen today still? Absolutely, it does. Yes, it does. But we don't know what God's going to do in any given situation. The minister involved or the person that's praying over this person has just got to listen very carefully to the Holy Spirit and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and not look for the formula. Oh, I read that on my textbook in page 143 and paragraph 10, I'm supposed to do this. No, it's not like that with God.
Right.
It's just not.
Well, it's putting him in a box. It's not letting him be God. And he likes, surprise is not the right word, but you're right. It keeps us wanting to stay in his presence.
Yes.
It keeps us
wanting
to listen to him.
Yes.
So that we know, we can hear when he guides us to do something.
God is a God of surprises, right? We all know that. He's a God of suddenly moments. Nan has a shirt on now that proves that. And because of that, that means that he intentionally does not want us to fall into a rut of expecting a certain way for God to do something every time. He's not going to do it that way. He's just not. Okay? There could have been other sick people in that congregation there in Lystra. We don't know. But this man... faith rose in him, and Paul saw it, and he was healed.
Right.
I guess my point here, we're going to go back to Exodus 15, where God first called himself our healer. And we're going to do this song first, and then we're going to explain it. It's Exodus 15, verse 22, if you want to follow along. This is the first place that God called himself the Lord our healer, or Jehovah Rapha. Listen to this. you are going to love this song. It's an old song written a long time ago, and I will tell you that Benny Hinn used it for years in his healing crusades. He may still. He is the Lord. I am the Lord that healeth thee, really, is and written by Don Mullen. Let faith arise as you hear this. Ill, why don't you claim your healing right now as you listen to the song? Maybe you're bruised and beaten up. Now's the time to let God do some healing in you during this song.
Sung about him as Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals us. His name is more powerful than cancer, heart disease, or any disease you can name. Whatever your need, he's here to heal you. Let's confess him as our healer as we sing, "You are the God that healeth me."
You are the God.
Praise God. That's who he is. He's your healer, dear one. That's who he is. He loves you so much. He wants you well. He wants you whole. He wants your bruises to be healed and your brokenness. Praise God. Praise God. That's who he is. Exodus chapter 15, Moses led Israel from the Red Sea onto the wilderness of Shur. They traveled for 3 days through the wilderness without finding any water. Pastor Jim, you made a point about that this morning. That was excellent, about what they had been doing prior to these 3 days. Well,
okay, they had just seen and the plagues of Egypt probably went over the course of an entire year. Mm-hmm. They had just seen those plagues, and they'd seen the death of the firstborn. They had just crossed, I mean, the end of or the first part of chapter 15 is them all having a dance party on the other side of the Red Sea.
Right.
You know, there's that, Moses sang a song, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. And they're all singing and dancing. Miriam's
Orson Ryder fell into the sea.
Right. Woo. Miriam's got her tambourines going. So they had seen God's great deliverance. And then 3 days later, when are you going to get us water? We're going to die of thirst out here. And what happened is they came upon this place where the water was bitter. Okay, just bitter, ugly, stagnant, gross water, which they could not drink.
Right.
So, oh, fine, you found, I can just hear them. Oh, fine, you found us water, and look at it. We can't
look
even
at it.
Drink
it's disgusting.
It. So, you know, Moses rightly cried out to God. You know, praise God for Moses' faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there
Moses
was,
didn't go along with the bitterness
no.
and the anger of everybody.
Right, and the whole bitterness thing, well, I'll let you get into that because you did really well on that this morning. But God, again, here's something. Who would have thought, I mean, I know the symbolism of the tree, the wood being humanity, but what a stupid thing to do. Let me just toss a tree into the water and it'll be fine.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense at all. I mean, that's just kind of, well, kind of like Elisha, kind of.
Right.
Tossing a piece of wood
sure.
into the,
oh, yeah.
the pond.
I've
and
taught
the,
that many
and
times.
And the axe head floated.
And the axe head comes up.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's that same, how weird.
But so often God tells us to do something that is out of our norm and it doesn't make sense to us.
Right.
Right? Right.
Well, Ezekiel laying on his side to symbolize
yes.
the capture of Jerusalem.
Right.
Isaiah running around naked, you know?
There you go.
That's just, you know, praise God they were obedient. I do want to add that. But the point here is it had only been 3 days since they crossed through the Red Sea.
Come on. They are fresh off of a huge miracle.
And and the other thing is the presence of God was there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a cloud by day to shield them and a fire by night to warm them. The glory cloud was there. And yet they still said, we don't have any water. Instead of asking God and saying, we need water. Can you know, Lord?
They started to grumble.
They started to grumble.
Right away.
Grumbling is not praying.
No.
Grumbling is grumbling and complaining.
Grumble. Even the word sounds like grumbling.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Grumble.
Yeah. So, and you know, thankfully, then Moses interceded for them. I'd like to go through Exodus and, you know, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You see how many times he did intercede for the children of Israel because he interceded again. And God said, okay, toss the
tree
in.
So he stops and he starts praying.
Yeah.
Right?
And
God,
Moses was the sensible one.
Right. And God pointed him to a stick of wood, it says in the Message Bible, and Moses threw it into the water and the water turned sweet. Now, that makes no human sense that a stick of wood could change bitter water sweet. No sense at all. So we got to look at this spiritual issue here. Number one, we see Moses' obedience. Okay, and Moses, instead of yelling and screaming at the people, he starts praying and saying, God, give me your plan here. I know you got a plan. What is it? Here we just came through the Red Sea, so I know you got a plan. I want to hear your plan. And I would say, people, it's time for us to begin to say, God, when we're in a pinch and we're in a bind and we don't know what to do or how to do it, God, what's your plan here? What do you want me to do?
Right.
Okay. And in this case, the plan was very symbolic and so like God, because God always has deeper meanings here, always does. We just have to look for it. And here it is, the wood in the Bible always refers to our humanity, us, our humanness. You know, what do? We take trees and we use the wood and we use it for our use, our purposes. We make tables, we make chairs, we make beds, whatever the case may be, right? It's for our humanity. And he throws it, that stick, in the water. Now, the Bible is it's called the water of the word. The Bible is that refreshment that you need in your life. And when you toss your humanity into the word, which is Jesus, and you say, here it is. I've got this problem. I've got that problem. I'm fearful. I'm anxious. I'm panicked attacks. I have this and I have that. And you toss that humanity into the word of God and say, show me scripture that can help me get through this. It will turn that bitter experience sweet. Cindy.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's good.
That'll preach, Cindy. That'll preach. It did preach this morning. It did. Yes.
I like that a lot. Yes. That's that spoke to me. That's good. That's all I have to say about that.
Okay.
Really,
all right. Prayer 51, Pastor Jim. Yeah. Well, it's the healing prayer. Is that what you're looking for in the book?
Actually, no.
Okay.
I was looking at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer section.
Mm-hmm.
I bless your name, Jehovah Rapha, my healer, and the one who makes bitter experiences sweet.
Sweet. There it is. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so let's take an illness out. Let's just be real personal here with our audience. Might be somebody out there right now says, you have no idea how bad my back is. You have no idea how my eyesight is, or you have no idea how my mentality is right now, and I'm just so beat down. I'm such a mess, or I've got pain. My body is racked with pain. Okay, you got to get to know Jehovah Rapha. He's your healer, and this is the first place that God calls Himself our healer, and that's why we just played that song, because that song comes directly from this verse. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'm your healer. Okay. Dear ones, if you have never heard that before, if that's like news to you, then get this down on the inside of you. This is an example. God had Moses just throw a stick in there. Throw our humanity, throw our pain into the word and say, God, what are you going to do with this pain I'm having right now? And he goes, oh, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Here's what I'm going to do. He said to David in Psalm 103, 1-3, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. There is not one disease, not one pain, not one emotional bruising or batteredness that God cannot heal. He heals them all. All the way through, it's talking about Jesus healing his public ministry, and it says, and he healed them all. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and he healed them all. Okay, it's everywhere. And he healed them all. He didn't just occasionally, oh, well, I'll pick you. You're sweet enough. You're not very sweet. No, keep your pain. You're just an old, you're just terrible. You're bad attitude. No, keep your disease. No, that's not how God does it. He's no respecter of persons. Woo, I'm on a high horse, so talk to me, Cindy. A nice high horse.
A nice high horse. Mm-hmm. Well, the view from up there is pretty good.
It's very good. So, it's very good. It's healing. The view from up here is really healing.
It's healing. You're right. I think it's interesting that, again, we get back to us being human. And the theme with the Israelites complaining after only 3 days, that runs through the Bible. The disciples saw fantastic miracles, and yet, you know, time and again, they're, you know, oh goodness, we're out in a boat, we're going to drown, and you know, just it runs through Scripture of us being very, very human, and going through a magnificent experience of witnessing a miracle, and then almost immediately, and I think it's how Pastor Jim started it, show that the devil immediately starts attacking.
Always.
To try to steal that blessing, to steal that joy, to steal your future, your hope. And you have to be prepared for that. I know there have been times when, you know, I'll have a word spoken over me or something will happen, and immediately in my mind, God says, better pray up, you know, keep your armor on, be watchful, be wary, because he doesn't want that to happen. You know,
no, the devil does not want you well.
He exactly. He doesn't want you well. He doesn't want you prosperous. He doesn't want you stable.
No.
He doesn't want you comfortable. He doesn't want you happy. And he will do whatever he can to make sure those things don't happen, mainly by deceit and lying, whether it's to you or someone else in your life, you know. And we have to remember that anything bad that happens is directly from the enemy. God does not make you sick. God does not cause financial disaster to happen to you to teach you some, you know, deep spiritual meaning. These things all come from the enemy. That's not how a God of love operates.
But this God of love allows these things.
Right. And what he does is he takes them and turns them for our good, which he promised to do in his word. He will turn every situation for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose.
Romans 8:28.
And there's the catch.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could be like Job and spend a lot of time listening to our friends and arguing with them, you know, because God allowed Satan to touch Job.
Right.
And pretty mm-hmm. much took away everything Job had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Job, he had, well, even the friends, they all had part of the picture. But finally, mm-hmm. the Lord showed up in a whirlwind and just confronted Job.
Right.
And Job's response was to repent. So sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, well, Lord, you didn't heal me of this. Well, you know what? You're holding on to resentment, and that's... You know, you need to get rid of that.
That's right.
Because we talked about it a little bit this morning. What goes on inside can really affect your physical health.
Oh, absolutely.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, if you're holding on to unforgiveness, it just grieves me because we like to watch, you know, ID and people that say that they're Christian. And I've not been through it. I don't know how I would react. All I know is what the word says. I'll never forgive this person.
Right.
Then mm-hmm. you're never going to be forgiven.
Right.
You know, and holding on to unforgiveness, it's just like...
It creates a big well of bitterness down on the inside.
And which creates all sorts of physical mm-hmm. issues, ulcers, you right. know, things mm-hmm. like that. So sometimes we need to look at it, the physical healing, yes, God's provided for that.
Yes.
But he may want to do an inside work to make sure this doesn't come back again. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think he often does that. That's yeah. what he draws our attention to. What are you allowing? What
right.
kind of bad attitudes are you allowing on the inside of yourself?
Right. If I have a history of ulcers and God right. heals me, but he has to heal me over and over, there's something going on underneath that needs to be taken care
right.
of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So God, you know, we need to find out what that is,
mm-hmm.
too. And
absolutely.
Again, we talked about that earlier. God heals on all three levels.
Right.
Spiritually, emotionally, in our mind, our will, and our emotions.
Right.
And physically. But we're made up of those three parts, and
right.
God wants to work in all those three parts.
He does. Listen to Terry McCallum's song, Heal Me, one of the best songs out there for this topic. And listen to it and let God minister to you in this song, and then we'll go back to PJ and Cindy. Ask him to heal you during this song.
I need a brand new touch from you, my Lord. Heal me. Let the fullness of your life now be restored.
Every week that we gather here, there's many, many people with many, many different kinds of needs. We get testimonies constantly of miracles that take place in the worship atmosphere as His presence just sets upon us. He comes with healing in His wings. And right where you're at today, right where you're standing or sitting, if you need a touch from Him, I believe there is a healing anointing that He will release upon you even right now. So as we just sing this song a couple of times, would you just let faith arise within your soul and your spirit, man? Ask God to provide for you divine health from heaven to your soul or your body or spirit today. Sing it with me.
Oh,
represented here, Lord. We desire as your bride to be complete and whole, restored to your fullness, Lord, that you designed for us at Calvary. And so, Lord, yes, indeed, let the fullness of your life be restored to these people today. Father, I pray that there will be a quickening to mortal bodies here. As we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus, you are the healer. Oh, so come and heal me. Most High God, listen to your church crying out to you today. I need a brand new touch from you, my Lord.
Of your life, mighty God, let that be restored in your people this day. Oh God, we just band together in prayer for our audience.
For the healing power of the Lord.
You know who they are, and you know where they are. And so, Lord, we come together right now. We believe you for all those that are crying out to you right now for emotional healing, for their brokenness, for physical healing, where there are pains, where there is suffering, perhaps cancer in their body. Let today be the day where they receive that healing from you, Jehovah Rapha. And Lord, we claim it right now in the name of Jesus, and we know that you know the ones who need a healing touch from you. And as we've said two or three times during this radio show today, we believed you in prayer two or three times for people out there. Lord, we stand in the gap for them right now because you know who they are and where they are. And so, Lord, we just put them in your hands and we declare right now that you are the healer and you can do a mighty work in each of us if we just allow it, if we just submit to your will and to your ways in our lives. So we thank you in advance for all those you're touching right now who have been touched by this show today and will be in the future. And we ask you, God, for miracles to happen around the globe. And we give you the glory and the praise right now. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Pastor Jim.
Wow. This has sure been a great day. I mean, a great service at church and
great day.
Yeah, been a great day.
Crazy day.
Yeah. But I just, it's so important that people understand that God wants you whole. That's the whole point of this. You know, I did talk about body, soul, and spirit.
Yes.
God wants to make you whole because it, another name, another covenant name is Yahweh Shalom, the Lord, our peace.
Our
and
peace.
That word shalom means wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want us broken. He wants us whole.
Amen.
He wants to turn those bitter experiences sweet, but we have to allow him to do that work.
Yeah, we do.
You know, I thought of Naomi. You know, Ruth's mother-in-law, whose name in Hebrew means pleasant. But she said after she lost her husband and her two sons, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara.
That's that bitter. Word right there,
call
bitter.
Call me bitter.
Same word. Bitter old bag, I used to call her when I taught
her. Yeah, well, she was kind of a bitter old bag.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we can't be like that.
No.
We have to trust God.
Got to let go of that bitterness. Yeah. You just got to let go of that and let God root it out.
Right. Well, it says don't let any root of bitterness spring
right.
up.
Right. Yes.
Because that, I think, is one of the biggest issues with that can stop up the flow of a healing.
Amen.
Would be bitterness. The other one we talked about today was, you know, pride.
Yeah.
You know, don't let anybody be calling you little gods.
Right.
Because you ain't.
Because you're not. Just human.
But God is still doing these things.
Amen.
I mean, we saw it at church this morning. The
moving. We did.
You know, it's been a long time since we saw the gifts move like they moved this morning.
Ooh, Pastor.
And,
wow. Yes. Yes. And God moved. There are many, many were received ministry today, were ministered to.
And this is just the beginning.
It's just the beginning. Cindy, comment for us from Idaho.
Again, I miss being in your services. I miss
we miss you very much.
I miss the prayer. I miss the just the camaraderie. I love certain aspects about a big church, and I love certain aspects about a smaller church.
Right. Yeah.
Too bad that they cannot be combined
right.
somehow.
There you go.
I believe great things are happening there, here, and around the world.
Amen.
And that we are going to get reports from the listening audience, from members of the congregations, that great and mighty things have been happening.
Amen.
And they are wanting to testify about those
Amen.
Things.
Amen. Amen. And you know, for those out there who are saying, boy, this sounds a little radical. You guys really believe the word of God like that? Yeah, we do. And you really pray for people like that? Yeah, we do. And you really believe that people can get well and get healed? And yeah, because we've seen it all the time. And so for those out there who just say, man, that's a stretch. Here's what you need to do. Get into the book of Acts, as we've been teaching. We got a few more weeks in this series, Signs and Wonders. And get into that and study the Word of God. Go back and listen to some of these shows of the last couple months. They're right here at TanTalkNetwork.com on podcasts, and go to Living the Good Life. They're there. They're on our website, BOHMGlobal.com. Find them, listen to them, and get the truth. And take notes. Get it down on the inside of you. Nan, you're a good note taker, and you do that a lot, don't you? Listen to shows over and over again.
I do.
Yeah.
I'm greatly blessed by doing that.
Yeah,
you know, just you hear it, then you hear it again,
right?
And the Lord quickens to you parts of it maybe you didn't catch the first time,
right? Yeah, okay. Thank you for sharing that, Pastor Jim and Cindy, I'm going to give you both a final word, and then we got to get out of here.
Me first?
Go ahead.
I don't, you know, whatever. Just, you know, it's so important, the basis, and we talked about a lot about the foundation being the Word of God. Scripture says he sent his word and healed mm-hmm. them and saved them from their destructions.
Right.
And, you know, find scriptures that apply to the healing that you need, whether it's Exodus 15, Psalm 107, Psalm 103, whatever, 1 Peter 2:24, and make those confessions.
Yes.
Make that your confession. Ground it in the word, because God's faithful to his word.
Amen. Get a pen. I'm going to give these to you. The Pastor Jim just did right now, and a couple others. Get a pen and write them down. Here they are. Exodus 15:26, first place that God calls himself our healer. Psalm 103:3, heals all our diseases. Isaiah 53, the whole chapter, especially verses 7 to 11. 4 to 7. That was it. I had it right earlier. 1 Peter 2:24, and the whole book of Acts, healing everywhere.
Yeah,
it's everywhere. James 5:16, call for the elders of the church, ask them to anoint you with oil and pray over you that you will be healed. There's so many scriptures about healing. Cindy, a final word, and we got to get going.
There's also a lot of good healing CDs out there, or MP3 files.
One that
has really meant a lot to me, it's a speaker named Matt Sorger, S-O-R-G-E-R.
Okay.
And he has a healing CD that I used to listen to just over and over and over again. And I ended up gifting it to the parent of a coworker who had cancer. But, you know, find what works for you.
Right, sure.
There are ministers out there that their main emphasis, their niche, if you will,
it's a niche.
Is healing.
Yeah.
It's healing. Look those videos up on YouTube.
Right.
Even speakers that don't have that healing ministry will preach about healing. There's tons of resources out there. Find what works for you and listen. Listen in your car. Listen when you're walking. Listen at work if you can. Play CDs at night while you sleep. You know, fill your house with the word. Praise music even. If you still have a CD player, put a CD in and put it on repeat and let it play while you sleep.
Great, 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 great recommendations. Thank you, Cindy Henderson. Beaconite, always a Beaconite
always
Idaho. Beaconite. Pastor Jim Ellsbury, my associate pastor, Nanette Watson from right here. And every one of us, we just thank God for this opportunity to bring the Word of God to you today. Go to our website, bohmglobal.com. Check it out. Check out the posts of recent shows and listen. God bless you. We're going to be right here, God willing, and the creek don't rise, next Sunday, 3 p.m. And God bless you. Tell some people about living the good life. And also, check out, I did a new Facebook post this week. Go to Marcia McAllister Posts or Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's on praying. It's actually hashtag wishing. So go check that out. It's all about prayer, though, even though it's hashtag wishing. Okay? So God bless you. See you next week. Pastor Marcia, Pastor Jim, Nan, and Cindy. See you.